welcome to a spooky episode of It's Kinda Late.
I really wish you would have given me a warning how loud you're going to be in that
part. I'm sorry. It is me, Count Chocula. Yes, Count Chocula, not Count Dracula. Funny enough, that is the first time I'm hearing that spooky intro. So shout out to my producer, as always, Caleb Broker, making that.
I had fun making it. I love Halloween.
And he was making it. He's like, do you want to see what hear what it sounds like? And I was like debating between whether I should or I shouldn't. And I was like, do you know what? Surprise me. Because isn't that what Halloween's all about?
It's all about surprises.
Surprises, yeah. Trick or treats. I mean, come on. The party never ends.
I'm all about the tricks, none of the treats.
Caleb's a huge fan of Halloween. Huge. Like, I like Halloween, but Caleb loves Halloween. Do you agree with that statement 100%?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's a spookster.
It's just mainly because I like horror movies, and horror movies is like their time, so.
I know, well, and this season's been your season.
This has been one of the better Halloweens. It's not even Halloween yet.
I know, we still have a whole weekend. And speaking of Halloween, this Sunday, RSU Radio is having a very special
Halloween spooky programming.
Ooh, yes.
And I'm already going to tell you guys now, there's one show that I'm super excited about.
I wonder what it is. Well, do you know what? In case you forget, go to at RSU Radio right now, if you're able to.
On Instagram,
Facebook, or Facebook.
Twitter.
Twitter. And, oh my gosh, what else?
TikTok.
Oh my goodness. RSU Radio is now on TikTok. Yes. But anyways, here's the schedule, okay?
Yeah.
At 5 p.m., you get a Hi-Fi Heresy show.
Ooh.
That's Halloween special. Now, this next one, I think this one that Kale is pretty excited for, is Radio Rewind Halloween special. The first round of applause of the episode is Caleb giving his own show a round of applause.
Hey, look, I put a lot of work into this show, and I'm glad that this is my first ever rerun. So,
usually that happens Fridays at 1 p.m., but you're going to get that this Sunday at 6 p.m.
Ooh, perfect time.
And then at 7, you'll get some spooky music. And then
spooky alternative music. True alternative music.
Yes. A twist on a true classic. And at 8 p.m., RSU Radio teamed up with the Student Broadcasting Association on campus, and they're presenting some spooky stories that you would not want to miss.
And they are written by RSU students.
There's some written by, I didn't even know that.
They're all written by RSU students.
Well, I got to tune in too. Wow. Wow. The more you know.
You should have already. See, here's the deal, guys. We have prime time trick-or-treating programming for you guys.
I know.
You're going to be out trick-or-treating from like, what, 5 to midnight, you know, 5 to 11.
There's never not a reason to listen to RSU Radio, especially during Halloween time. Next up, we have the Last Exit podcast, which is a very special podcast made by somebody in the area. And I don't want to spoil anything, so you have to look that up yourself. And then it's spooky, much the theme.
That's all you need to know.
And then we have more Halloween spooky alternative music. And then we close out with a Planet Nuvo Halloween special as well. So you don't want to miss it.
That's going to be 2 hours straight of some fun
music,
electronic. I don't even know what kind of. You just got to tune in and find out. It's fun stuff.
It is fun. And in case you forget, as always, at RSU Radio on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and now TikTok. That sounds so cool saying that.
Instagram. I think you forgot Instagram.
And Instagram. I mean, we're everywhere. You can't avoid us.
Find us on LinkedIn.
Well, indulge. Not yet. Not yet.
Find us on
Pinterest and Yelp. Just kidding.
Please give us 5 stars on Yelp.
Here's the funny thing. Okay. Tying it to last week and the holiday season, I found a update on a story that we talked about last week. Do you remember last week whenever we talked about that giant pumpkin that was qualifying to be the biggest pumpkin ever, but then a tiny crack disqualified it from the competition?
I do, yeah. We talked about it for a while. Cinderella's pumpkin, basically.
Yes. So if you remember, that pumpkin weighed 2,520 pounds, and it looks like a, you know, beanbag, right? but one small crack disqualified the whole pumpkin. Well, I'd love to let you know that we have a new record.
Ooh.
Broke this year for the biggest pumpkin of all time. Coming in at 2,702 pounds. An Italian farmer broke the Guinness World Record for the heaviest pumpkin with his gargantuan gourd weighed in, you know, obviously more than 2,700 pounds. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. I don't even
I don't know how to comprehend that. This is, you know what the funny thing is? I remember how last week I said, like, people put their lives on the line to, you know, farm these big vegetables.
I don't know if they're on the line, but.
Well, their income, because they win prizes and all that stuff. Listen to this. This is the guy that won. This is what he said. At the time of weigh-in, I had my back to the screen, he told Guinness Book of World Records. When my friends in the audience saw the weight, they swept me up in celebration. At that moment, I knew I made it. I screamed until I lost my voice. Good.
This guy screams more than I do at a concert. I mean, geez.
I know. Imagine spending years trying to grow this big pumpkin. The Charlie Brown pumpkin is shook, quaking, no competition. And, you know, being so scared you're going to lose, and then you win. All your friends pick you up for growing a big pumpkin.
I'm glad he got all his friends there too, though. I feel like some people maybe don't get to have an experience with all their friends there, and he does.
And you know, so funny, I can't even have a plant to live. I can't even keep a plant alive, and this guy's growing, you know,
2,700 pound pumpkin.
Yeah. So, I mean, he beats the world record by close to over 100 pounds. The last one was set in 2016 with a record of 2,624 pounds.
26
by someone in Bell.
2,624.
Yes.
Let me just clarify for anyone that's confused.
I did it. Yeah, sorry. I did it in an interesting way. That's crazy. So congratulations to them. And then I also wanted to kind of lighten the mood, okay? Because after this break, we have two lovely guests, Sam and Aro, are joining us. Sam works at the station down here with us, and it's been a long time coming for him to be here. You probably heard us talk about him.
We've talked about him before, and if you listen to RSU Radio, he's
a legend.
He has his own show. He does the Fresh Fridays. Mm. He's on some promos. He's everywhere.
Yes.
How could you miss him?
And I want him everywhere because he is a light in this world. Okay. And when they hop on the show with us, him and his partner Aro, they are going to discuss with me and Caleb some haunted locations in Oklahoma and kind of ranking how actually scary they are. You know, we're putting scores. And they're going to play a game, but I'll explain that game when it gets to that.
Also, before we go much further, I do want to say something real quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
You stopped the whole show for that. I was trying to make a transition.
Well, how do you get in transition off of the weekend?
Well, we all know the weekend's really nice. We love the weekend.
The artists, yeah, I guess.
And the weekend itself. So in this show, we might get in some suggestive things that are the opposite of nice and heartfelt. So a little bit of discretion, a little bit. So I wanted to give an optimistic news story that I found, okay? Before we dive into spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. We have...
Great song, by the way.
A Colorado softball team is believed to be the oldest team in the country, with players ranging from their 50s to their 90s. The group is called the Colorado Peaches. It was founded in 1991 and features more than 50 players. Majority of them are 70s, 80s, or 90s.
That's impressive.
Can you believe that?
I cannot.
What I wouldn't give to female empowerment right there.
I can't do that.
I can't either. I can't even throw a ball.
I won't be able to whenever I'm 40. Like, they're over here doing it in the 80s and 90s.
I know. Man, I'm shook. So they were coined the oldest team in the country, as I said. And here's one of the players who's 90 years old. They said, even if we don't win, we win. The big thing is to be a worthy opponent. And I take that as a life lesson. You know what I mean? I feel that on a spiritual level, even though I'm not a 90-year-old woman.
Not yet.
Not yet, exactly. But, and I saw there's a little twist to it. The team was almost disbanded in 2012. After half the group almost decided they were too old.
No, you're never too old.
But one of the founders and the remaining members were able to rebuild the team after they recruited another old woman as their coach, okay? So they made a comeback. And then since then, that head coach did pass away. But now everyone on the team wears her number on their sleeves. Her number was 23.
Michael
but
Jordan.
Do you know what? 23 to 70 to 80 to 90. These women can do it all. So there's your optimistic story before we dive into
the last one of the day.
Yeah, the last one of the day. before murder, spirits, and spooky, scary stories. And like I said earlier, if you like spooky, scary stories, you can stay tuned in for Sunday. For even.
Just come tune in all day, but specifically
never
during
sit
5
down
to 12 to 1.
Get some candy and just hear some great stuff on RSU Radio. So again, I wanted to give you guys that story before we dived into some spooky topics. So discretion advised if you're sensitive to some stuff. A lot of stuff, I'll give disclaimers if they're real things.
And there's still, just to clarify, it's still radio friendly. Like,
of
it's
course.
We're not over here. It's not going to be bad.
Of course. I just don't want to, I just don't want to, trigger anybody. And all respects to people that are harmed in these stories or anything. They're just fascinating to look at and think about.
And some of them are just stories.
Some of them are just false. Okay.
What to figure that out when we get there.
Game tease. He just teased the game, y'all.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, I like it. So after this short break, stay tuned. We'll have Sam Sapahoodle, who is the music director down here at your only choice for true alternative music, 91.3 FM, as well as his partner, RO, who is a lovely, lovely person. And he'll tag along with us to break down all of the spookiest Oklahoma locations and so much more. So we'll see you back on It's Kinda Late. Ooh.
And now, back to the madness of It's Kinda Late.
It's my first time hearing that as well. Again, shout out to my producer and to someone that, made this show possible, Caleb Broker, for that amazing sound just heard. And you heard that right. You're tuned in to It's Kinda Late with Caden Coleman. I'm your host, Caden Coleman. Welcome to our very spooky special Halloween spectacular.
What was that?
What was that?
Oh my God. Wait a minute. Me and Caleb are joined by two others. Who are they? Let's give a round of applause and a warm welcome to Sam and Aro. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Please stand up.
It's nice to be on. Thank
Please
you,
stand up.
Caden. It's been a long... Yes, it has.
This has been a long time in the planning. We talked about this earlier. Huge long time in the planning.
I didn't know about this until yesterday. Oh.
But do you know what? It's called the charm.
Absolutely.
You're kind of just drug, hand, foot, and nail. Is that what they say?
Hand, tooth, and nail, I think.
Hand, tooth, and nail.
Hand, foot, elbow,
hand,
kneecap.
Foot, head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Anybody can get their hand on.
Knows I love you.
Well, anyways, Sam and Aro are joining us to discuss all things spooky. And Sam, if you know Sam, okay?
Which hopefully you do.
Everyone should.
Exactly, Aro. Exactly. Here's the thing. His vocabulary, the dictionary cannot compare to the amount of vocabulary that Sam has, okay? So I thought that for a Halloween episode, I feel like he's had a lot of experiences and a good way to explain the unexplainable.
Wow.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
What a setup.
All right.
There's a lot of hype on your back and you better keep it up.
Okay. It's definitely not straining.
I know. No pressure.
Are you sure about that?
But anyways, we're going to break down for this first segment of the show, scary locations, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. In Oklahoma.
We do have a lot of
in
those.
The area.
Local ghosts.
Local ghosts. And then we're going to kind of rank them because I don't get scared. It's not that epic. We're going to rank them, okay? On 0 to I'm fine, I'm chill, to 10, I can't breathe, I'm so scared.
Okay.
Caleb Broker.
Epic.
Caleb's like, I made the intro. Like, he can do whatever he wants. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give y'all an explanation behind some creepy, spooky music. And then we're going to rank them from 0, not spooky, 10, spooky, spooky.
Okay.
Here's the first one. The Fun Mystery is located in Springer, Oklahoma on Pioneer Road. If you put your car in neutral at the bottom of the hill, a mysterious force will pull your vehicle up the hill. Some say the magnetic force in the area is so strong it could crash a plane. We were able to verify this. Another theory is that ghosts or car crashes from the past pull your car away from where they died themselves. If you don't believe these legends, you might be right in thinking it's just an optical illusion. And that was, again, the magnetic hill of Springer, Oklahoma.
Huh.
First off, fun saying all that in that way. Second off, what do y'all think?
Uh-huh. 5. Must be science.
Determined. 5.
I think out of all of the, like, spooky places here in Oklahoma that I know about, that's pretty low on this scale.
Well, and here's my question. I've not been to Magnetic Hill, but when they say they pull your vehicle up the hill, like, how fast are we going? You know what I mean?
Oh, you're zooming.
Am I NASCAR speed racing it backwards?
I feel like with some of these haunting events where they, like, play pranks on you, I feel like there's a buffer where you just have to leave the area. Mm-hmm. And once they know that you're gone, it's instant.
What if you put it in neutral and just a bunch of minions walk out and they, like, have magnets and they're slowly pulling you, but you can't see them?
That would
minions.
Make it a solid 10.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, 10 out of 10
talking about minions from, like, Despicable Me?
Or just, like, little gremlins or goblins?
Oh, I thought minions from Despicable Me.
We could do that, too. Either way. So, Sammy, give it a 5. Ara, what do you think?
I'm going to say a solid 3.
3.
3.
So we're tame.
It would, I mean, it would be kind of freaky if your car just started moving on its own, but, like...
Well, I mean, if that happens, there's definitely something unsettling about that.
That is fair. But it's still not a, like, make me want to run away super duper fast kind of deal.
That's fair.
I think it's more like a 4.
I'll give it a 4 too. Okay. So math wise, let's see here. 5 plus 3, 8. Mm-hmm. 8 plus 4, 12. 12 plus 4, 16.
You're
16
so
divided by 4. Is an average score of 4.
Nice.
Mathematics.
Wow. Nice.
And
give him his degree already.
I know. Okay, this next one I think might be a tad bit creepier. Here we go. Almost every bridge built in the 1900s in Oklahoma has a crybaby bridge story. This is the only one that has a specific date the incident allegedly occurred. On June 13th, 1924, a young mother was crossing the bridge with her baby when a storm came. Lightning struck her horse and carriage and knocked her baby away. She could not find her, but could hear her crying. She desperately looked for her baby over the side of the bridge, but fell into the Verdigris River herself, never to be seen again. Legend has it that you park your car on the bridge on any Friday the 13th and turn your motor off, you'll hear the baby crying. The bridge is not accessible anymore, but it can be seen via a nearby road. Whether you can hear the baby crying from there is unknown.
Huh. Peculiar.
I saw like unsolved mysteries, and then after I want Sam to go, huh. I don't know about that. That's one, Caden.
Interesting.
So I think it's a tad bit scarier.
Weak.
Oh, weak from Caleb. I will say the fact that it's like not accessible anymore, but you know there's people that have gotten on but that bridge.
Also, my thought is like, okay, she fell off a river. I mean,
allegedly.
Happens all really the time. I don't know. I give it a 3.
I hear a lot of things at night.
I hear a lot of things, period.
In such settings, such darkened, macabre settings, like dogs howling at 3 a.m. in my neighborhood, that has sent me farther than what I think this would send me.
So a baby crying, if you woke up in the middle of the night and a baby crying, was it sound you heard? Not as scary as another sound.
It's different. A baby crying in the woods is different than a baby crying in a neighborhood, though.
Yeah.
I live in an apartment complex, so if I heard a baby crying, it just means I have new neighbors.
Yeah.
But like if I was just out on a bridge in the middle of the night and I heard a baby screaming, I wouldn't even be scared of it being a ghost. I'd be afraid I had to call an ambulance.
Yeah.
Like I would
reasonable.
I wouldn't think it was like, oh my God, there's a spirit of a child here. It's a, oh no, there's an injured infant somewhere close and I don't want to have to deal with that, but I'm going to. Because I'm concerned about this baby.
I'm
good
glad,
person.
I'm glad your mind would go answer. There because I would be thinking about spirit.
How fast can I leave this area?
Okay. So what are we thinking? What are we going to give this one?
3.
3 from Caleb.
I'll give this one a 4.
Me too. 4.
4?
Mm-hmm.
So Arlo, you gave the last one a 5, didn't you?
I gave it a 4.
You gave it a 5.
Mm-hmm, I gave the last one
so
a 5.
So you think the last one's scarier than this one?
Yeah. I mean, one has movement, physical contact, you know, is being had. The other one is just a noise.
I'm giving this one a 6.
Dang. Oh.
Why are you so afraid of babies crying in the woods?
I don't know. I think it's just it's in the woods, in the darkness, you just hear a baby. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I feel like I'd be able to convince myself that it wasn't a child, that it was just some strange animal. It's like, I want to go classify that thing.
Meanwhile, Aro's like, I want to save a child. You're like, I'll just, you know, walk by.
That's an animal. We don't
need
to. So
it averages 4.25.
Okay, so a 0.25 bit scarier.
And all that is you, Caden.
I know. Thanks to me. I'm sorry. Next up, we have what we call the Purple Church. One of Oklahoma's most infamous legends, the Purple Church is located near Spencer, Oklahoma. Although not an actual church, this concrete foundation has steps leading to an underground cellar. It's believed the cellar belonged to an old, torn-down church, and the purple in the name comes from the purple, if I say it, satanic markings on the entrance of the cellar. Many say that alleged black magic rituals have been performed here, and several paranormal stories have been reported. Many of them have come from credible sources.
That's a 7.
I'll be honest, that just sounds like a really rural indie band spot where like teenagers just
that
go
sounds
and
like,
play music.
That sounds
there.
Like my church.
The Purple Church. Kidding, that's where kidding. I go on Saturdays to club. I go to throw down at the Purple Church.
But realistically, you're going down to an underground cellar.
Just steps in the ground. That is pretty spooky.
With, you know, scary markings on the wall.
Yeah.
It sounds really cool. That is definitely a place I'd like to go.
I'd give that a 10 just because if I found myself there, I'd be afraid of the people coming back.
Oh, man. I'm giving it a 7.
Get a 7? A 7? Man, what would an 8 take? That's what I'm curious.
I think I'll give this one a 6 just because cellars are creepy in general. So like everything else kind of added on to that just makes it a little bit worse.
Is it just a room? Just a cellar.
Well, there's a picture of it. I'll show you a picture of it. I can't tell the people that are listening over the air, but that's what it looks like right there.
Oh, gosh.
It's more scary when you see a picture of it. So look up the purple
church.
No,
that looks scary.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a storm drain.
Yeah. Yeah, not fun. So.
Yeah, solidly a 7.
I'm giving it an 8.5.
I don't know. I feel bad for taking back my 10.
So That's a 30.
Hold on. I've corrupted the data. I said 8.5. RL, you said 7.
Mm-hmm.
Sam?
8.
Okay, we got an 8. and then Caleb?
7.
7. Okay.
Which comes to a grand total of 7.625.
Ooh, my 0.625.
So, you know what that means? That's a pretty high score.
It's going to be hard to beat.
Honestly, I think a 7. I'm curious what you think an 8 would take from you.
Well, let's read these and find out.
I don't know. Here we go. Next one is the Skirvin Hotel.
Oh.
Of Oklahoma City. This 10-story tower contains 224 rooms. It is one of the first buildings ever built in Oklahoma City. And one of the first ever to have air conditioning. Okay.
That's not scary. That's pleasant.
Skirvin's daughter, Pearl Mesta, bought the hotel a national reputation by being the ambassador dress to Luxembourg and then Washington's hostess with the mostess, portrayed in the Broadway musical Call Me Madam. And then basically it goes down to talk about all the scary sightings in the Skirvin Hotel, about how she not only gave birth to a baby and had postpartum depression, but then eventually the baby died and then she died, and then everyone that's ever lived in that room since allegedly has died. After remodels, they have, you know, changed the floor layout and everything, but people say they still hear and see not only the baby, but the woman, including all stars from NBA teams across the nation, have said that the Skirvin Hotel is the scariest place they've ever been to.
Haunted hotels are a lot of fun. Like that, not even just concept, but like the existence of them are always one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hotels are scary for me.
I mean, even a regular hotel is scary for me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Even a haunted one.
See, and here's some of the things. One man said he was touched by an invisible entity during his stay in his sleep. Others have seen a figure of a naked woman with them while they're taking a shower. That sounds scary.
Skirvin's a 9 for me. Like, I knew about it beforehand. And I think the fact that these NBA players who travel around the country and visit hundreds of hotels, so that's the scariest one.
Yeah, that's some good.
That spooks me.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. I'm giving it a 9.
So we got a 9 from Caleb. I'm giving that less than the last one.
I think I'm going to stick with like a 7 or an 8.
I'm giving it a 6.
I'll throw it a 6 as well.
Okay, so we have a 9, a 6, a 7, and a 6. Caleb, what does that equal?
A 7 total.
Okay, so the purple place is still a little higher. I will say the fact that it has so many is scary, but the atmosphere of that purple church, come on. And like, that's like death. And a hotel can like seem scary.
I will say, like, for me personally, I should have rated the purple one higher, because I think that like demonic stuff tends to be scarier to me than like ghost stuff. But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, this next one, do you know what? My family has a personal experience with this next one.
Ooh.
Okay. So here is the next haunted location in Oklahoma. The Hornet Spook Light is what it's called.
Oh, that's a dumb name. I'm sorry. That is not scary at all.
This mysterious light of an unknown origin can be observed to this day on the Oklahoma-Missouri border. Many have conducted that this strange appearance of light can be explained by automobiles' headlights reflecting from miles away. However, sightings of these lights were reported well before automobiles ever existed. So we have doubts that that's what's going on. The story goes that a woman, in particular, a Native American woman, lost her child in this area and has been searching for her, you know, baby ever since. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal. I have had a family members of mine go to this place, and the light is inevitable. It's there. It's true. Everyone sees it. It's a scientific phenomenon. But the reason behind why that light shows up, no one knows to this day. And again, sightings have been, you know, reporting this before automobiles were ever existed.
Mm.
But the fact that it's undeniable the light is there, crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate little bits of like local folklore like mm-hmm. that. I think it's really interesting. Like, it's not so much scary to me just because it's there, like, and everyone knows it's there and they know to expect it. So I think I'm going to give that one like a 3.
Yeah, I started to think of it as some sort of benevolent force there, just minding its own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will tell you, spooky or not, that's fascinating. The fact that, like I said earlier, it's like guaranteed true and the light exists there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very fascinating. And that everyone that goes there has seen it or seen a glimpse of it, of that light. There's no reason why it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'll give it a 5 or I'll give it a 6. I'll give it a 6 because it's unexplainable. Mm-hmm. And the fear of the unknown is one of the biggest fears in people's eyes and minds.
Ambiguity hits, yeah.
Ambiguity hits different.
But I think I'm going to give this one a 3.
3 as well?
Yeah.
So you have a 3, 6, and a 3, Caleb?
That's just not scary. I think I'll give it a 3.
It's fascinating that you had to admit it, too.
But it's not scary. We're waiting this on scary.
Yeah, that's a different scale.
So it was 6 and 3 threes.
Mm-hmm. Watch that like light come up behind us. It's like, wait a minute.
Say psych right now.
3.75. The thing is, my
6 only bumped it up 0.75.
I'm just not scared of a light. I mean,
it gives me very Will-O-the-Wisp energy. Mm-hmm. And those aren't really scary. I mean, if you follow them, they are. But I feel like you have to be kind of dumb to just... Well, actually, no. I would wander into the woods after a random light. I've done it before, and I will do it again.
Funny.
So.
I don't know. It's scary. It's scary. But this next one is going to be our last one for this segment, okay?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And do you know what? This one... technically can be called 0 miles away because it's in Claremore, Oklahoma.
I was waiting for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Here we have the Belvedere Mansion of Claremore, Oklahoma. Whoa, that transition got me spooked. That was pretty cool. Listed on the National Register of Historical Places, the 3-story mansion was built by John M. Bayliss starting in 1902. Bayliss ran a railroad industry company, as well as he also ran one not only in Oklahoma, but also in Arkansas as well. Kayla. He moved his family to the Indian Territory from Missouri in 1901. The next year, he began to build the castle-like mansion with his wife, Mary Melissa Bayliss, and had 7 children. Belvedere was not only successful with his business, but also in banking and land development. Due to the macular details mentioned, took several years to build. At the same time, blah, blah, blah.
Get to the scary stuff.
Come he was on. The president of the Bank of Claremore at the time of his death. So many things. Successful guy.
This is a scary end.
But he died from a complication on an operation of appendicitis. Okay.
I almost bit the dust of that.
Mary and the 6 surviving children finished the mansion after his death and continued to reside there until 1919. All of her children resided in Claremore, with their oldest sons becoming involved in the Mecca Claremore. Another blah, 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 blah. Sorry, there's a lot of backstory, and I want to get into it because it's kind of...
Come on, yeah.
Anyways, the mansion still remains. Over the years, numerous people have reported that John Bayliss lives in the building and that other members of the family that died there or lived in that building are still to be seen in the beautiful old home. These allegations include unexplained noises, actual sightings of hazy figures, toilets that flush by themselves, hot and severely cold spots in the building, and feelings of being touched when no one is there. On several occasions, paranormal groups were investigated the old mansion. seemingly to find the most activity on the second floor. Psychics had seen children playing, as well as meeting a John Bayless himself. And also they met a distraught young woman who allegedly died when she lived there in the building as a tenant in 1940s. Such a long story. I'm sorry. I'm like out of breath.
That's really interesting. I don't know. I don't know if that's so much scary, because like I very much believe in ghosts, and like not even ghosts so much as spirits, because like people's energies stick around after they're gone, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, you know? Like, just because there's a spirit there doesn't mean it's malevolent. So I feel like...
Yeah, maybe they want to be there still.
John Bayless?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Owned that?
I feel like it was liked more of a question of like, how negative of an experience are these people having whenever they go there? Because like, yeah, being touched and everything like that's really freaky. But is it like detrimental?
Yeah.
Kind of deal? Because there are a lot of paranormal places where it can be detrimental to your health and stuff like that.
Yeah, the family just didn't sound harmful.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it's a national historical landmark, though, is pretty fascinating.
That's why I'm always interested in it.
And that it's literally 0 miles away.
Yeah. I mean, we can walk to it right now very easily. I've walked right past it, and it's spooky.
Very spooky. So, I don't know, maybe there's more to be told of stories inside the Belvedere Mansion. But what are we giving it?
I'll give that a solid 5. That's pretty spooky.
Pretty silly.
It's pretty spooky.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6.
I can give it a 7.
Okay.
Just because it's close to home. I've been there. It's,
I don't know. 6.
Because the thing about it is, I knew about this before I moved to Claremore, because it's like a national, like everyone, if you look up the most haunted places like in the United States, it's on some lists.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But I think it takes like a very specific kind of person to go there and connect with the spirits that allegedly live there.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. We'll see. But we got that score here. The average is 6, which means the spookiest place we broke down today is none other than the Purple Church.
Oh, yeah. The dance spot
of Spencer, Oklahoma.
Sam's and Club.
We should just Sam's Club.
Everybody turn
Wait,
up.
Sam's Club. No. We are not sponsored by Sam's Club.
But yeah. So if you're in Oklahoma, go visit these locations, especially the Belvedere Mansion in Claremore, Oklahoma.
Or you can just go to a haunted house, like a
get spooked.
A fake one. a fake one. I don't know.
Fake one.
Like the Hex House or all those places.
Well, get spooked this season.
Non-GMO.
Well, anyways, that was all for that segment. And now time for a fun game, okay? Even more spooky stories. We got real stories and fake stories, okay? Mm. And after I gave y'all a brief of, you know, letting you dip your toes in scary stories, I'm gonna let y'all investigate these scary stories and tell me how this story ended. I'll give you 4 options and you'll guess which one happened or was written in the short story. Okay.
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 I love games.
Some of these are real, some of these are fake. So
there was a TV show like this. I think it was called Real or Fake or something like that on the History Channel.
Well, we have on the show
Real or Fake.
We have
it's true, kind of like edition.
We have true rubbish. But this is like kind of a complete the story segment. Okay.
Let's see if this is true or rubbish.
That's our version of fact or fiction.
Spooky edition.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with this one. Okay. And y'all are working together. So y'all deliberate on what the answer is. Okay. This is a short story. This is not real. Okay. Little Emily vanished last year. Now they're pouring new sidewalks in the neighborhood. What happens next? Emily's corpse rose to the cement. The cement would never solidify in the town in which it was being placed. The sidewalk deteriorated within a year of its placement, or her name appeared in the concrete.
I think her name.
Yeah, I'd say
investigators.
Because...
Take in mind, it's a short story, so anything's possible.
Yeah, a little girl, I think, would have a playful energy.
I don't know.
And would just write her name.
I feel like the concrete never solidifying would be a pretty strong idea. Just because, like, especially if there was concrete laid, like, pretty immediately after she went missing or whatever. So she wants to, like, exact revenge or whatever. By
little Emily getting revenge.
Inconveniencing everyone in the worst possible way she can think of.
None of you are going to get anything finished.
You know what's funny? Is that after this break, I'll give y'all the answer of what happened to little Emily in the concrete of the town.
Oh, the ambiguity.
So we'll see you after this break on It's Kinda Late.
And now, back to the madness of It's Kinda Late.
Welcome back to It's Kinda Late, a special Halloween edition. I'm your host, Caden Coleman, joined with my producer, ooh, Caleb, as well as two lovely guests.
I'm a jelly bean.
You're a what?
A jelly bean.
Okay. We have a jelly bean with us today. Just kidding. We have Aro and Sam joining us. And right now, I'm telling them a short story. Either it is, you know, real or fake. And I'm telling them the first half, and they have to guess which of these four endings is correct and happened or was written in the fake short story. You play that a billion times. We left off with little Emily vanished last year. Now they're pouring new sidewalks in my neighborhood. Here are your choices. Emily's corpse rose with the concrete. The cement would never solidify in the town. Sidewalk deteriorated within a year and her name appeared in the concrete. What do y'all think?
I thought her name appeared in the concrete.
Name.
I'm going to go with the concrete never solidified.
I'm sorry. It is the name.
Damn.
And it was written backwards as if she was one writing it from underground.
Oh,
that's spooky. I like that.
Spooky gooky. You know what, cool, though? Thank you for thinking that the solidifying was cool because I made that up in my head. Okay. I appreciate that.
So the concrete was just wet concrete forever? Was that your idea?
Yeah, it wouldn't solidify.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me.
Pretty cool, yeah. Tea, right? Okay, anyways, next story. This one is a real one. Last night, a friend rushed me out of the house to catch the opening act at a local bar's music night. After a few drinks, I realized my phone was in my pocket. I checked the table we were sitting at, the bar, the bathrooms, and after no luck, I used my friend's phone to call mine. After two rings, someone eventually answered, gave a low, raspy giggle, and then hung up.
Oh.
They didn't answer again. I eventually gave up and considered it a lost cause and headed home. I found my phone laying on my... I just gave it away. Did you hear that she found it?
yeah.
Dang it, wait, I gave it away.
Let me guess what it was laying on then.
Well, that was the thing. No,
it
I was
laying...
On the nightstand.
On her head.
It was like her lap. I had one job and I just messed it up. Good thing I had multiple other ones. My options are going to be their friend had the phone. It was found at the bar as a person died at the bar that was known for laughing a week prior.
What?
It was found back at her house and it was found at a local crime scene.
I will say, honestly.
Wait, where was it found?
At her nightstand back at home. But the true story.
Oh, no.
Say, that story itself is actually, I'm scared. Like, that's scary.
I know.
If it happened to me, I would burn my house down.
Man, real people are the worst. When it comes to Halloween monsters.
Welcome to spirits, because real people are trash.
Too many women have to deal with stalkers already, so, like, that's extra scary.
Now that it's on a paranormal level, come on, sis. You know what I mean? Another struggle.
Wow.
This next one's real, and I won't mess it up this
Don't
time.
Mess it up.
I know. My gosh, I had one job. Here we go. We have a picture of my wife's late grandpa on our glass table. My then 2-year-old was named for him, and he walks past it one day, points at him and says, "What?" I met that man before I was born. I met that man yesterday. He starts crying and screaming in fear, or he claims to speak with the picture on the daily.
Can you say the options again? Like, spaced them out.
I met that man before I was born. I met that man yesterday. The baby starts crying and screaming in fear. Or the baby claims to speak with the picture every single day.
I think the child met the grandfather yesterday.
I think it's before they were born.
I agree. I think it's before they were born.
What's scarier? I won't reveal it. What's scarier, though, you think?
Crying and screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. That children just screaming out of nowhere is always terrifying. But, like, them, if they were, like, to look at a picture and then start screaming and crying, it's like, what are you seeing that I'm not?
Blood pressure raised.
Well, do you know what? I think Kayla gets the point because, you know, it was correct. I met that man before I was born was what the baby kept on saying. And it still believes it.
I think I might have heard that story before or something similar.
Yeah.
Bro, I think the scariest one is I met that man yesterday because there's a timeline to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, he's
Wait,
sure.
Grandpa's back?
What? Guess who's back?
Grandpa's back.
Okay, this next one is also real. And this one's freaking crazy. Okay. I awoke one evening back in 2015. I remember waking up really thirsty and going for a drink of water in the kitchen. I kept thinking dadgum for some reason. Like, get the dadgum cup, pour the dadgum water. Which is weird because I don't ever say that, ever. So anyway, fast forward to the next morning, I get up and drive across town to meet my father-in-law to help him move a refrigerator. And on my way, I drove through the scene of a bad car / motorcycle accident. What happened? The man that died in the accident was named Dad Gum. The man that died was the CEO of a gum brand. The license plate of the wrecked car read Dad Gum, or the officer on duty was the officer Dag.
What?
I think it would help a lot if you would space them out.
Okay,
I thought
here's
you were
your
still
options.
Telling the story,
yes.
And I was like, what
here's
is
your options.
On?
A, the man that died was named Dad Gum. B, the man that died was the CEO of a gum brand. C, the license plate of the wrecked car read Dad Gum. Or D, the officer on duty was Officer Dag.
I feel like it has to be the third one because, like, if you're just driving past it, how are you going to know all of those other things?
That's a good point.
Dad Gum just seems like a pretty cool license plate. I'd probably have Dad Gum.
I'm saying that one too.
You're geniuses. It is that the license plate of the red car read Dad Gum. That's pretty scary. It's pretty spooky. To be fair, someone could have easily made that up in their head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like, passed by a car wreck, Dad Gum. The night beforehand, I was having a Dad Gum.
Dad Gum. Pour the Dad Gum water.
Bro, but imagine if it was A, the man that died was named Dad Gum. You know, imagine if that was it. I would go crazy.
Who would name their kid that?
Well, would Gum be his last name? Because then that you would just be naming your kid Dad. It's like that Fairly Odd, like the dad from Fairly Odd Parents. He's always just been called Dad, and you never actually learn his real name.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
The more you know. I didn't know the dad of the Fairly Odd Parents didn't have a name.
Yeah, it's just Dad.
Okay.
I watched way too much of that show growing up, though.
No, it's okay. This next one is also real. We're going with the real stuff. Okay. Here we go. I was a security coordinator for a large electric company and had access to a 80 plus of the facility's infrastructures. I was doing a maintenance check on some random train station at like 3 a.m., panned a camera as far to the right as possible to check it, that it was functioning, and saw this dude doing what? Eating a deer raw, chanting to the Saturn moon and then catching on fire, cutting his hair and then eating his hair afterwards, barking as if he was a dog and then foaming at the mouth.
Hey, all these options are insane.
Wow.
One of them's real.
I don't know. That second one just sounds like an average Thursday night for me, but...
Yeah.
What was the second one?
Chanting to the Saturn moon god and catching fire.
I think the last one is the most believable, but the rest are so crazy. They're all crazy.
What's the third one?
He cut his hair on camera and ate his own hair afterwards.
And what's the first one?
Eating a deer raw.
I think that's the one I'm going to go with.
The deer?
Yeah. Because like...
Wait, what was the security camera purveying?
A random train station at 3 a.m.
And this is inside?
I don't know. I don't...
Oh, okay.
I don't have all the details.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because eating deer raw... It wouldn't matter if you were doing that inside or outside. That is...
Never mind. It's pretty weird regardless. What are we thinking?
I think I'm going to go with that first one. It seems very, like, in line with a lot of scary stories like that.
Eating a deer raw?
Mm-hmm.
I'll vote he was eating his hair.
Okay.
I still think he was doing the dog, painting like a dog and all that. Barking.
Barking and foaming at the mouth.
Well, only one person here is a genius because somebody got it right.
Ooh.
And that person is Aro. Ooh. That man was eating a deer raw.
Goodness.
The whole deer.
Oh, my goodness.
And then vanished.
That's terrifying.
A whole deer brought in the deer? Oh, well, right. We don't know if it was a inside.
Train, if it was a train depot, then it was.
Yeah, he
probably
brought the
outside.
Deer in for the camera. I was like, three,
was
two,
the deer
one.
Just there? And
honestly, I don't have all the answers.
That would be scarier, though. Like, you're just at your job, and then someone breaks in with the sole purpose of eating a deer raw inside.
Oddly enough, I think him cutting his own hair and eating his own hair is the scariest. Because imagine someone looking right in the camera and just shaving their head and just eating it.
Yeah, I
think I've seen that in a horror
movie. Like, the
movie
Saturn
before.
Moon guy and then catches on fire. It's like, oh, hey, that guy's just crazy.
Intimidating.
Yeah. But the hair thing,
mm-hmm.
Back up, dude.
That's a threat.
Well, anyways, before we are getting close to time already. Man, I'm having so much fun. I don't want to stop. We asked you guys for today's listener response the question of what's the scariest movie experience you ever had in life, or the scariest object or anything. We have a few answers from our boss, general manager of RC Radio, Tip Toasty. We have the best horror movies in order. Number one, The Thing. Number two, The Shining. Number three, Shaun of the Dead. And number four, Ernest Scared Stupid. Thoughts?
I've only seen The Shining on the list.
What is Ernest Scared Stupid?
I've never heard of
that. Maybe
a
guess.
You haven't heard
Shaun of the Dead?
I think the Ernest one's a joke because Ernest is like a comedic character.
Maybe. Ernest and the what?
Ernest Scared Stupid. That's what it's called.
It's definitely it. Yeah.
Oh.
I will say, while your boss has taste, I think he's incorrect. Texas Chainsaw Massacre was not on that list. And that, in my opinion, is like the best horror movie of all time.
And it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because based off some reality.
It's actually not. It's
okay. I quit, y'all. It's not? It was a lie?
No. Well, it's... Okay, so a lot of people think that it is, but... And it says that it's based on real events. Like, in the openings of the movie, it says that this is based on true events, but it's actually very loosely based on things like Ed Gein and, like, just stories of cannibal clans kind of across the world.
It's kind of a hodgepodge of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay. So spooky, though.
It's very spooky.
I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre is very good.
Yes.
But I haven't really got to watch a lot of the old horror movies. I watched all the new ones. My personal favorites are like Invisible Man. It's really good. Mm-hmm.
There's always next Halloween too.
True.
The Halloween movies never stop.
Well, I watch them all year round. So
good. Same. Every day's Halloween if you're not a coward.
Love that quote. Next up, we have from our friend of the show, Maria. One night I thought I heard a ghost in my room, but it was just my neighbors yelling outside.
Uh-huh.
That's a classic. It's a classic, like every day. You know what I mean? Every day, bro. It's Disney Channel flow.
They might as well be ghosts.
Yeah. And if you're like me and Caden and live on campus, then you hear people all the time.
So. I know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get a chance to see our, you know, scary stories.
Man, the specters in the room above me love moving their furniture.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we have, or last but not least, actually, we have my bestie Elizabeth with favorite movie, if we're keeping it festive, is Monster House. I watched it with her last week. Holds up to this day. And also, I'm most scared of getting my getting my ring stuck on my fingers.
That is scary. It hurts too.
So you're gonna give a 5 for the purple church, but give getting your ring stuck on your fingers.
Yes, I hate going to the doctor and having to get my jewelry cut off is like one of my biggest fears. Like, unironically, I love my rings and everything. So the idea of having to go to the doctor and admit to one first getting it stuck on my hand, and then them having to cut it off. It just sounds like a social nightmare more than anything else.
Being stuck is one of my least favorite experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of being stuck, you stick right where you're at, okay? Because RSU has some great content this Halloween, as well as on social media. Stop it.
Oh, the adhesion.
Follow at RSU Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Did I forget something? I don't think so. Next up, we have The Lounge with Maria Turley. And guess what? Tune in to this exact station for a fun night of Halloween music and special programming this Sunday, starting at 5 p.m. Other than that, I will see you next Friday with another episode of It's Kinda Late. Thank you. Have a good night and a great Halloween.
That wraps up this episode of It's Kinda Late. You can listen to this episode as well as every other one made in a podcast form on your favorite platform or rsuradio.com/podcasts. See you next week, Friday at 7 p.m.